Tonight, and I also want to welcome those that are listening on the website around the world. And just a quick brief summary on what's going on here. I don't know if it was last week or the week before that, but I gave a challenge out there. I wanted to see who could make it into the top 10 nations. Right now we have Germany, Russia, China are in the top three. Then we have Great Britain, Italy, Canada, and then Ukraine. Well, actually, we have an unknown nation in there that is in the mix, but we'll kick that one out since we don't have a name.
No, that's people who are in hiding.
Oh, that's people in hiding, okay.
Ukraine, Netherlands, Philippines.
Then we have Ukraine, Netherlands, and the Philippines. So those that haven't been listed, I'm sure you're in there because we have like 90-something.
We're up to 95 now.
95 nations. So we got France, Indonesia, we have a new one, Antigua and Barbuda, India, Japan,
Latvia, Vietnam, Sweden, Turkey,
this
Spain.
Is where Larry comes in at.
You missed Belarus.
Come here, Larry. Come on up here.
You missed Belarus.
The nations want to hear from you. This is my Jewish brother, Larry, who I love so much. Here, Larry.
Belarus.
Keep on.
Belarus. Antigua and Barbuda. Barbuda.
He did. It's good size.
Barbuda. Barbuda.
Keep going.
India, Japan, Latvia, Vietnam, Sweden, Turkey, Spain, Thailand, Brazil, Norway, Malaysia, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Romania, Azerbaijan, Singapore, Finland, Liberia, Nigeria, South Africa.
All right. Let's give Larry a hand on that one. Larry, I know there will be one that I would have never done. That Azerbaijan. That one. I would have never gotten that one. Well, those nations that are listening, I want to challenge you to get on the top 10. So if you haven't heard your nation on the top 10, I want you now to start telling some friends about our website so that they can tell two friends, and then they can tell two friends, and then you can get on the top 10. How many people would like to see other countries hit the top 10? That's what I want to see. China and Russia Federation, and what was the other one? Have been like nailing it on the top three. Germany. So we got Germany, Russia, and China as being the top 10 contenders now for the last, I don't know how long, for a while. Well, with that being said, and because of time, we're going to get moving. We have a wonderful guest speaker tonight. Matter of fact, I thought Pastor Tim was going to be around too, but I guess not. He's not feeling well? Well, keep Pastor Tim in prayer for not feeling well. With that being said, we have a guest speaker. This speaker I've known now for how many years?
Eight years.
Whew, man, time is flying. And I'm going to call him up now. His name is John Stanchek, one of the upcoming elders of this ministry. He doesn't know it yet, but one of the upcoming elders. So let's give him a hand. Amen? Yeah.
All right. I'm dressed in drab tonight. After the world beat the crap out of me today. I usually don't like to hold the microphone, but I guess I'll have to make an exception today. I'm here 8 years now. 8 years this year. I think it was May in 2008 when I first walked in here. I was drawn to this place. You know, we talk about this place, and you know, it's really God. It's God drawing you. But I'll refer to this place because God lives here. God is taught here, even though we know God lives within us. But this is where we get our drink, our nourishment, or whatever, and it's what you learn here. And I don't think you can actually measure what you get here. You can't. It's something that keeps you coming back for more. I mean, I don't want to speak too soon, but I can't imagine turning my back and walking away. I cannot find another place to go on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever day. It's actually every day. Another place to go and get something. And I think that's what we're all looking for, something. And what we're taught here is have that relationship with God and to trust Him. And it's not something that you do once a week. It's something you do virtually every minute of the day. At least for me, anyway. So I am a true testimony of this place. I was drawn here back in 2008. I don't want to get into too much detail, but I was going through a very difficult time. I think it was in my second marriage, and I'm not going to get into too many details here. And I ran into Kurt in the city. I worked in the city at the time. And I ran into Kurt, and just started talking to him. And, you know, my just heart and my guts just ripped right open. And, you know, he kind of talked to me a little bit and told me about this place. And to make a long story short, as time went on in 2008, I first stepped in here in May. As by the time November came, things were very, very difficult in my situation. And it got so bad that I needed to leave. And that's a tough thing to do. And it was my second time going through it. So my heart was just ripped to shreds. And I didn't know where to turn. And so I was drawn here that day. There was an actual pivotal day that it happened. And I was drawn here. And there was nothing going to stop me. I didn't care what was going to happen. Nothing would stop me. I didn't eat. I didn't do anything. I came right to here. And not because of that event, but I knew I was coming. And that event just emphasized it even more. So going through all that, I have to get into some detail, because it's testimony of why we're here and trusting God and having Him in your life. My children were taken away from me for 8 months. Nothing I could have done about it. Couldn't go to court about it. Couldn't go to fight about it. There's nothing I could have done. They were taken away from me for 8 months after spending every day with them, caring for them for the first, you know, 8 or 9 years of their life. And that's what you have to really understand about this place, because it teaches you about the dark forces out there that are out to take your life and take you out for good. And that's what I was up against. I was up against some really, really tough stuff from the dark side. I'll just call it the dark side. So I had no choice but to trust God. And I was virtually on a crash course in this place. And Jim had some Tuesday night sessions where he would have this book. He'd read like a paragraph of it and just speak for 2 hours after that. And I was like a sponge. I just kept soaking it all in and soaking it all in. And the first day that I came here, he said to me that, you know, and I'm not going to get into everything he said to me, but, you know, I went up for ministry, which I never did before in my life, and I just said, I'm going, you know. So I went up, and he said, your household will be restored. Okay, now Jim's not a fortune teller. I don't even have to look up there, do I? He's not a fortune. Hey, there's nobody there. But he's not a fortune teller. We don't come here to get our fortunes told. That's not what it's about. But there are some revelational things that are given at an appointed time, I guess we can call it. So, you know, as 8 months went by, I was allowed to see my kids once an hour. 1 hour a week. And I met a beautiful person along the way that happened quickly. She happens to be here right now. Who's a very, very big part of my life right now. But at the same time, we were in the same place. I don't want to say spiritually or mentally, but emotionally, I think we were in the same place. She had gone through some very difficult trials, and I was in the middle of mine. So we ended up living together very quickly, no fault of my own. She texted me one day and asked me when my lease was up on my apartment. I was like, I think she's asking me to move in. So needless to say, we were living together, and I think after 8 months, I started to see my children more and more. And as time went on, that was in 2009, and there were some really, really tough times going through 2010. In 2011, my daughter came to live with me, and I didn't do anything. And that's the whole point here. I trusted, and I kept seeking the Lord, and she came to live with me. And then shortly after that, my son came to live with me, and essentially my household was restored. It was just an amazing thing. And my point is that I did nothing. And I've been going through trials ever since. A lot of trials along the way. Many, many trials. And I'm in the middle of a trial right now. A very, very difficult one. And so as I was driving down the road today, something came to me, and I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I'm not big on thinking about what I'm going to say, preparing what I was going to say. I was just going to say what's on my heart. So one of them is, it kept coming to me today, is, Lord, take this thorn out of my side. I've been living with this trial for the last, 3 or 4 months now. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. And we all know by coming here that grace is knowledge. It's the knowledge that you seek and the knowledge that's given to you. It's not a book knowledge. It's what we call revelational knowledge. And it's very, very important. It's very important to know that. Grace is the most misused word in the Bible. What most people think grace is, it's really mercy. So it's important to know what grace is, and if you come here enough, you know what grace is. So when the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you, my knowledge is sufficient for you. And, going through this trial, I have no choice but to trust him. And that's what it's really all about. You have to trust. You have to have him in your life. You have to keep seeking him. He wants to keep drawing you closer. And he will put trials in front of you to draw you closer. And if you keep turning your back, he's going to keep making that trial harder and harder. You know, we always say, you know, you hear those expressions, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. What's really important? What's really important in this world? Really, the only thing you need is a relationship with him. And he reveals to you who you really are. I mean, there's so many things I could talk about that I've learned here. Taking authority is another one. You know, that's something that it's not a prideful thing, and it's not a self-driven thing. It's really knowing what is out there to destroy your life and taking authority over it. And the only way you could take authority over it is what God gives you. He gives you knowledge. And he knows that, you know, actually, you know that he's behind you and he's in front of you. We sing that song, which is one of my favorites. You know, I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. I mean, that to me is such a powerful song because, you know, you're going to run into people, your family, your friends, people out in the world, and this world is crazy, and they're going to try to tear you down. That's darkness. And if you really get into it deeper, it's really not them. They don't know what they're doing. Like Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. So without getting too long here, and I think I said everything I wanted to say, but I could say that I am still searching and seeking, and coping with trials in my life, and you almost know it when you're in your heart. If your heart is twisted and tormented, you know you're not in the right direction. You know you're not in the right place. As many times as my mind is ready to explode, like feels like it does right now, my heart is still. I'd rather have a still heart any day. My mind is, you know, going to do what it does. And we're taught in here that the mind is the enemy. The mind is full of lies. We create things in our mind. One of the best pieces of wisdom in here is when we do those things and we worship a lie, we create a lie. We create a faith, and then we create almost a reality. And those dark forces are given legal contract in the heavenlies, we'll call it, in the spirit world, to come and destroy you. That is one of the biggest pieces of wisdom you can get from here. If you could take anything from here, it's that. That when you feed that, it has legal right to come and grab you. And I think that's what I'm going to end with, because that is such a profound, I want to say discipline, a doctrine, a saying, whatever you want to call it. But if we could just grab hold of the other side and trust God and know that there's angels on the other side that want to work on your behalf, you'll make it through trials. You'll make it through the day, and you won't sweat small stuff. So I think that's all I'm going to say tonight. I think I covered everything. I don't want to get too long-winded here.
Nah, it's good. Let's give John a hand. You know, John, there's thousands of people out there that want to hear what you got to say. And they're questioning, what do I need God for? And you're a perfect example of why we need God. Because every day we deal with trials. Every day. And some big ones, too. And when we face these trials, you know, who do we turn to? Who you could turn to someone, but do they really know your pain? Do they really know your suffering? And thank God you met another person in your life that you were able to be comforted through there, but also you still had a need for something more of a higher power. And then also by grace. And as we know, grace is revelational knowledge. It's a knowledge not given by a book. And truly, when we receive that grace, it is a mercy on our lives. And I think that's why they take grace as being mercy. But the knowledge is actually, because we obtained the knowledge, it gives us mercy. So the grace is really a revelational knowledge that puts mercy on us, because we don't do the things and that we're not supposed to, or we do the things that we are supposed to. And without the knowledge, we have no grace. We don't have that God-given mercy that wants to try to come on us. And, you know, like, to make it, to explain it even further, if I give Sarah grace, it's not like I'm letting her off the hook. The only way I'm going to give Sarah grace is explain to her why or what it is or how to do it or what have you. And then that's grace, because now she has taken something that she can actually use and work with to help her life. It's almost like giving her a tool, and she don't have to hammer a nail in with her head. She can use a hammer. So let me give you some grace. Here's a hammer. So, well, with that being said, you know, you mentioned this place, and I'm glad that you referred it to this place, because this place isn't a religious place, so to say. It's not religious. It's a center for people to have a relationship with God. It's an establishment to have people be able to log on around the world, to be able to tune in and get knowledge of how to find God. If you go on the street and do a little poll and say, hey, do you know God? And they'll say, oh, yeah, I know God. And then they'll say, okay, how did you find out about God? Well, I've known it from my family, or I got it in the church. Okay, Tell me about your relationship. Well, I pray. That's about it. How far does it go? That's all you get. God is really who you are. If you can grab hold of this, Jesus had the revelation. He says, if you see me, you see the Father. What was he saying? He was basically saying, aren't we all God's? You know, God is consuming, and if we allow him to consume us, it's no longer I that lives, but he that lives within me. That's scripture. You can look it up in the Bible. I didn't bring my Bible out today. Oh, yes, I did. My girls did. Thanks. This book right here is the closest book. I had a heavenly experience. John gave his testimony, and this is why this place is here. Because I had a heavenly experience and started this place. And this place has drawn people like John around here from all over the place. I say many times, if everybody came here at once, they wouldn't be able to fit in the property. But at the same time, my experience I saw God. It sounds crazy. People say, oh, no one ever saw God. I saw God. I saw God. I would say I saw his attributes and I saw his power. He had no form, but I saw his attributes and his power. And it was a glorious thing. And with that being said, I met some others up there, living creatures and prophets of old, and Jesus was the last one that I spoke to, and he's in this book. And the crazy thing about it is, I was up there for 3 days, three earthly days, but I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I talk more to my wife, and we try to figure it out, and she has a story, and I have a story, and so I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body. But I know it was three earthly days. And in that three earthly days, in the spiritual world, it could have been 3 years for all I know. With that being said, as I was talking to Jesus, I think he put this whole book in me, to be honest with you. And when I came back down, I knew this book. I knew it. I knew it in a knowledge that is a living knowledge. So I would say that I'm the walking, living word. I'm a living word, because if anyone knows me, as my wife does and my children do, they would say that I eat, sleep, breathe this book, but I don't read it. I eat, sleep, and breathe it. It just comes out of me. It's like life. This book is life that's inside of me. It's a mysterious book, but all the truth in it is inside, and I might be a hard person to live with. I don't know. I know it can be difficult because, I mean, I'm a loving guy. I'm not like a religious spank you with the willow branch or anything like that. But I don't tolerate darkness. I don't tolerate any type of darkness that tends to affect our minds and troubles our heart. And when we speak of this place, you know, this place is like the kingdom of God, and there's a place called the kingdom of God, and that place is where you find peace and joy and righteousness. And in here, we will never judge you in the sense of ever making you feel guilty or ashamed about anything, and there will always be peace and joy. So if you really think about it, this place is a residence of the kingdom of God. And the world needs to understand that there is a world that is around us that is so real, more real than what we are actually living in. The world that we can't see with our eyes is eternal. The world that you see is going to fade away. It's going to burn. It's going to disappear. It's going to decay. It's going to rot. It's going to be torn down and rebuilt. It's going to... How many people understand what I'm saying over here? Okay, there is nothing that lasts forever here. But what you can't see, the spirit, is eternal and lasts forever. And so this place allows you to renew your mind so that you can see that world and live in that world and believe in that world. And when you come into that world, this world in itself doesn't exist. So the troubles and the torments and the struggles that we go through, we know that they're only temporary and they're going to fade away, and these things shall pass. And it gives you the stamina and the strength to keep moving on. And one day, you know, literally 1,000 years turns into one day. I mean, the time just flies so fast because of the fact that you're able to sustain and realize that things will just eventually pass. When John was speaking about his testimony coming in here, you know, he spoke about myself being able to see into someone's life. And as he said, it's not fortune-telling or anything like that, because that I don't believe in fortune-telling for one. I believe that there are professionals that know how to pry stuff out of you, and then eventually they turn around because you're so filled with darkness that you don't even realize that you're actually telling them, and then they're going to just repeat the same thing back to you. So fortune-telling is kind of more of a sense of witchcraft or a manipulated type state. But this is more of a prophetic ministry to where God reveals these things that no man really knows, nor could I even comprehend or understand. And so it's like the word of the Lord. And I would say it is the word of the Lord. And I know that Gina is a part of John's life. And Gina, if you don't mind, I'd like to call you up here because your testimony needs to be heard also, because you go along with John and his testimony. And it's ironic, too, because Gina knew me when I was... No, come on up here. Yeah, you look good. Don't worry about it. And there's no camera, so don't worry about it. Yeah, so nobody will see you. Only me. But the ironic thing is, and Jesus himself also was not recognized in his hometown. No prophet is recognized in their hometown. You know, we go over South Africa, or we go into Mexico or Indonesia or one of these other nations, and if the nations ever hear me and they want an invitation, I'm sure I'd be more than happy to try to get over there. But, you know, when we go there, revivals break out and hundreds of thousands of people come, and you just see some incredible stuff. But I'm in my hometown, and no prophet is known in their hometown. Well, ironically enough, Gina knew me when I was in what grade?
Eighth grade.
She's like an eighth grade girl that I used to look at. And
I didn't even know me.
No, I didn't give her the time of day. What a dummy. No. but anyhow, the funny thing about it is, you know, ironically enough, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And so I'm not ashamed about what I do. And I'm not ashamed about speaking the message and the word, even though that I know her. I'm not ashamed. How many people understand that? You know, a lot of people are ashamed. I'm not ashamed. As a matter of fact, it was funny that I opened up an account, and I'm now a senior citizen, so to say, in the world's eyes. Like, I got a 50, because I'm 50 years old, I got a 50-year-old an account that they give you a special service or something. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like senior citizens now. But with that being said, the guy asked me what I do for a living. And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, I would say, well, I have a trucking business or this other business or whatever I did, you know, at that time, without saying I'm a pastor. For the first time, because I went full time, I said I was a pastor. Yeah, I actually in my heart said I'm a pastor. And he kind of looked at me, was like, a little bit. And I was like, I know. It's okay. It's all right. Everything's going to be okay. I said, you know, don't treat me any different, please. Stay the way you are. Don't start carrying on like you have to see the father or something, you know, like the priestly father or something. But, you know, when Gina came in, I was so happy to see her, not knowing that I knew her in eighth grade. And I'll let her share her testimony here. She'll share, even with what happened even last week.
Oh, last Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, so just
I've been listening to that message on my way to work and on my way home. I can't get enough of it.
Keep listening. And tell the world out there why it's so important. As John says, he listens to it every day. Mm-hmm. And why is it so important to constantly get this in us, really? But I'll let you take over.
Put me on the spot here. Are we? You said we're not recording?
No, we're recording.
Oh, we are.
Camera.
Oh, okay. Okay, so my testimony, where do I begin? As John said, when we first met, we were both going through a difficult time, and at that point I was kind of teetering where I want to go. I went to a Catholic church for 20 years, and I have to be honest with you, I really didn't get a whole lot out of it. I didn't walk out of the doors feeling free of any in any way. So my sister had introduced me to another place where I was going, and then I met John, and I would come here, and then I would go there, and then I would come here, and then I would go there. And then I continued to go to this other place with my sister, and I learned a little bit, but I felt like something was missing. I felt like maybe it was the truth. I felt like it was a charade. But then I kept thinking in the back of my mind, like I wasn't at a healthy place in my mind, so maybe it was just me. I wasn't open to it all because it wasn't Catholic. So I continued to go, and then I came here one day. I walked in, I don't even know if I told John I was coming. I walked in and came up for ministry, and like you, I had this something happened to me, and I knew from that point I wasn't going back there. And the only thing I can say is every time I come here, you know, sometimes I walk in here and I feel like the message is specifically for me.
Too loud. Too loud. No.
Okay. I feel like the messages are, like you're talking, the pastor's talking to me. Sometimes I look around like, oh my gosh, how does he know that? And Mary Beth had told me one time, it's almost like when you come here, it's almost like a menu. Some things are for you, and sometimes you're talking to other people. But regardless of who you're talking to, you always walk out of here with something. And I always walk out of here feeling free. And I was actually, I think I emailed John. We came here Sunday, and the service was fantastic, as always. But this Sunday really hit me because I've been going through some stuff with my daughter. I should say my daughter was going through some stuff, and when she does, I feel like I do, you know, as a mom. And she felt, when we were on our way home, and she felt so free of what she was going through. And hearing that from her just kind of, you know, made me realize, like, this is the place to be. Not that I needed to hear from her, but as young as she is, it just solidified my thoughts that this is the place to be. This is where you get set free of no matter what you're going through. So I've been listening to that. I mean, I have six CDs in my car, but that specific message I've been listening to, today's Wednesday, I've probably listened to it 8 times already. And I probably would listen to it more if I wasn't so busy during the day and in the evening, but it's constantly listening to it, and I just feel like every time I come here, I am set free of something, and then I go back into the world, and sometimes I feel myself like that I don't know what you want to call it, but that frustration building. But from Sunday's message, each time I felt that frustration building this week, I was like, no, I'm not going to let those dark forces enter. I'm not going to allow it. And I'm listening to these people around me at work, and I could hear what they're saying, and I'm thinking, they only knew. And I've, you know, tried to plant the seed, and they're just, you know, not interested in receiving anything at this time. But I'm still new there, and I'm working on it. But I just feel, I don't know, I just keep saying the same thing over and over. I'm just really set free. And I've been coming here 6-7 years, I think, 7 maybe. And I can't talk about this place enough, and I know sometimes I get on people's nerves talking about it, but it's okay. I'm going to still talk about it. So I've learned a lot about myself here and my relationship with God. And I thought when I went to Catholic Church, I thought I had a relationship with God. I didn't realize I didn't until I had one. You know, I didn't realize what I didn't know. I really thought walking in every Sunday, you know, doing my standing and my kneeling and my, you know, prayers that they tell you what you have to say and how you have to feel, I thought that was my relationship with God, and I was so wrong. My relationship with God is so much more than that, and so powerful, and I didn't know it until I came here. So I'm going to end with just a thank you to everyone here, and especially Amen. Pastor.
I love it. That's the best kind.
You know, I'm just very happy because I hear it from the other individuals, and I'm very grateful that my life was changed for this time, this moment in time. And I truly believe that it's for everyone out there that's listening. And I know it's sometimes difficult to get out here. And today is a Wednesday, and it's more of a testimony and sharing, you know, why this place. And, you know, we've been called a lot of things. Believe it or not, we've been called a cult. How many people understand what a cult is? You know, because we don't have that religious seal, I guess. You know, and you need that seal. And it really hurts my heart because it's like, man, if you only knew the truth, maybe you're duped. Maybe the seal is the cult. Let's turn it around. You know, they're the ones that are basically ban you if you had sex out of marriage. Sorry, can't marry you. And if you had a child, sorry, we got to kick you out. And, you know, I don't know, man. To me, that sounds more cultish than just come and get free and have a relationship with God. And if you stay, great. If you go, great. It's okay. You know? And if you can, try to support, but it's not a big deal. We won't shun you if you don't. I mean, come on. How much easier and better is that? That's all I can say, right? My life is committed fully in faith, and I'm believing that God will provide every need that I need, and He has. And we've been in ministry now for over 13 years. It's been 13 plus years that my life was changed in the way it did. I've been fighting the call, and believe me, it has been a big fight. I always thought that, you know, oh, I'm going to trust you, God, and yet at the same time, I still tried to make a living on my own, so to say. Until just recently when God twisted me, there's a passage here where who wrestled with the angel? Does anyone know that passage? Was it Jacob that wrestled with the angel? One of them. It's in the Old Testament. Gabriel? Okay, well, anyhow, it's in here. Well, there's another one in here too. Yeah, Jacob. It was Jacob. Jacob wrestled with the angel. We got a couple of scholars in here, and we'll have it out later. But Jacob was the one that wrestled with an angel. But the bottom line is I wrestled with the angel until the angel pinned me down and grinded my face into concrete. And he's like, you're going to do it. And if not, I'm going to basically take your life. And that's how I felt. I felt that if I didn't go forward in the call that God is calling me full time, there was nothing else to live for. And that's where I came to. There was nothing else more to live for. So I said yes. And the moment I said yes, God literally set us completely free of everything. And that's a long story. And that's a testimony in itself. And I've never been any happier in my whole entire life. Even though things look very dark in a lot of areas, I'm free. And I never felt any better in my entire life. So with that being said, I said, I know I can't basically go back into the world, so to say. You know, I can't go back into the world. I am in the kingdom of God now. And I am committed to continue to bring this message to the world. And with that, it may not be hard for you to ever get out here. But it's not hard for you to log on to the internet. And when my life was changed, I met this one particular person. And back then, the internet wasn't as largely populated as it is now. And that person actually spoke over me, and I don't even know if they even knew what they were saying, but they said that we were going to be basically a worldwide internet ministry, a ministry that was going to be broadcast. And here, dummy like me, I'm thinking television and all this other stuff. I'm not thinking, you know, I'm thinking a television evangelist. I'm like, I don't want to be a television evangelist. Are you kidding me? I don't want to be one of them. Not realizing that here we are around the world on the internet, just broke out just within April of last year. And it's almost a full year now. And we have just done tremendous numbers on the web in a lot of countries. 96 plus countries are logging on now. Yeah, I got one of those boxes. So I'm very grateful for where we're at, and I want the world to understand that this is prophecy 2,000 years ago. This is called the second coming of Christ right here. Not many people will comprehend what I'm saying, but I've said this before. The second coming of Christ is here. And it's only out of revelations, revelational knowledge, grace. And the world in itself is going to be saved by grace. And how is it going to be saved? By knowledge. And this knowledge is going to be poured out. Because he says in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And I can see how he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, because the spirit in itself is speaking right now. And if it's going to be poured out, it's being poured out for all those that are hearing. And that hearing is the hearing of the second coming of Christ. The revelational knowledge is that it is no longer I that lives, but he that lives within me. It's a dwelling. It's a place where you are transformed. And now you can be a child of God. And real. Not a symbol of being any type of religion, but a true child of God. And that you can be exactly who you are, too, without being conformed in any way, shape, or form, but what is written on your heart, the model that is on your heart. So you can be exactly who you are. You can be, and you don't have to change. That's the beauty about this cult that you want to call it. You want to hear a really awesome testimony, and I hope he's listening. This guy's name is Jay. And he came here through John, another John, Duke. And ironically, he doesn't live very far from here. I mean, you can throw a rock at his house probably. But he traveled all the way to Pennsylvania for work. And he met Duke, John, at work about, let's just say, one day. And then 3-4 weeks went by, and this gentleman was almost in torment because of the fact that he really wanted to see this guy Duke again, this John, who comes here. And the dude just kind of broke down and was like, I gotta talk to this guy. He said some things, and now I need to talk to him. And then John shows up on the job, like, after he got done screaming to himself, but he was actually screaming to God, but he didn't know it. And he's screaming to himself, but he was screaming to God. And Duke shows up, John shows up. And he's like, what was that place that you talked about? And John told him this place. He came 2 weeks ago. I briefly said hello to him. I saw him. He wanted me to basically read his mail and heal him in that moment. And I was like, you got to come back out. I'm not going to waste my time with you. You come back out and see what the Lord does. And then I shared some things to give him enough to say, oh my God, nobody knew these things before. So this must be God here revealing these things to this guy, so I'm going to come back out. And he even said, I told my girlfriend about this place, and my girlfriend said, you better not go because it sounds like a cult. You better not go because it sounds like a cult. That hurts me. That really hurts me. it's a shame because, you know, this gentleman is looking for some help, and yet you got somebody saying, don't go. Don't go. It's good. How do you know it's a cult? How do you know until you go? But I can understand that there's been cults out there, and I understand that, you know, there's been some real whacked out ones and, you know, drank juice and, you know, sliced people up. Maybe there's some other cults. Does anybody else know some really good ones? But, you know, but this one's a good one. This one's one that you can actually be happy and free about. But he showed up last Sunday. John, what happened to him? You were there. John, come on up here. John, the world needs to hear what happened. Were you? Did you watch him?
I watched him fall.
Did you watch him come up here?
Yeah, I watched him come up here. What happened? I wasn't paying attention to what you said.
That's okay. The world don't need to hear that.
I talked to him for a little bit, and it looked like when he first came in here, his face was all twisted.
Yeah.
And then I talked to him after he got up off the ground, because when you ministered to him, he, boom, gone, you know. And when I looked at him before we left, I just said hello, and he had like a calm over his face. You could see there was such a difference. So.
Such a difference.
We'll see how he... If he comes back.
You know what? It doesn't matter. If he ever shows up ever again. See, because I'm not here about building churches. I'm not here about building. I'm just watching people get set free. Come on up, Gina. Yeah. This man came up, and he had a stronghold on his life. And this stronghold came in, and it was deep. It was demonic. It was choking this guy. And that got cast out. Bam! Just like that. And one touch from the power of God. Boom! And then he's out on the ground on the carpet. And he can't get up. Power of God hit him and he couldn't get up. He couldn't get up. He was stuck to the floor. He couldn't get up. Yeah, that's what happened to me. When I got touched by the power of God, I couldn't get up. But at the same time, I understand what it was. It was called the Shekinah glory. It's like a lead blanket. It almost felt like one of those lead blankets when they put on you for x-rays. And I had a bunch of them on me. I couldn't get up. But with that being said, I also realized that we are powered by demonic forces or good forces. And when you take out all the power out of you, you got no more power in your body to move, to have you actually function. So the strong man of demonic came out of him, so he had no strength in his body. That's why he couldn't get up. How many people realize that we have a spirit that actually gives us strength in our bodies? Well, that spirit came out, and he had no strength. That's why he was like laying there, oh, I can't get up. Yeah, because you don't have no demon to pull you up. You don't have no spirit. And I saw his face. And you can see the light. You can see the light in him. And why I say I don't care if he ever comes back, there's a part of me that would love to have him come back because we can build on it. Because what happens is, and I told him, in 3 days, if you continue to resist, in 3 days you will be completely delivered. But what is happening is that demon is like sitting on the edge of a rock waiting to fly back in. Yes. Yep. 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 And that's why it's important to get back in here so that those things don't go out. Now, I know that God's protection's on him because the power of God hit him and he was delivered. I didn't take any authority out of myself and started casting out anything. I let the power of God hit him. Well, I'm hoping and praying that he could listen. And then that demon just could not continue to wait and left. And it fled. Resist it and it will flee. Why 3 days? I don't know. It's a mystery. But Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, wasn't he? He even told everybody, don't touch me, because I haven't gone to the Father yet or something like that. Okay, so something about 3 days. All right, so Gina's going to share.
Well, Real quick, you're talking about
you're talking about
a cult. So I just want to say, when I was teetering back and forth, the where to go that I mentioned earlier, at that point I kind of was still going to the Catholic Church, maybe once or twice, and I decided, no, I'm not going. So I went to my daughter's CCD teacher's house to let her know Gianna's not going to CCD anymore. I'm going to be going to another place. Blah, blah, blah. She said, okay, thank you. And as I was walking down her steps, she says, Gina, it's a shame that people are leaving the Catholic Church because they don't like to follow rules. And I was facing her. I was in her walkway, and I was facing her, and I thought, like, I didn't say anything, but now that I'm, but maybe that's the cult. You know, like, I'm free here. I don't need to follow rules. I'm just following my heart, which is where God is. Yeah. So maybe that's the cult.
Yeah. It is the cult.
You know? So, and then the other thing, we were just talking about the gentleman that was here. Well, my daughter was here. Gianna was here. And, you know, she felt the Holy Spirit. And it's funny because yesterday she was on the phone with her friend who's been going through, you know, their eighth grade problems. And I hear my daughter talking to her about the Glory Barn, and I'm listening, and I hear her talking to her about how the Spirit helped her on Sunday, and she's like coaching this girl. So, and you know, it made me feel good, but she gets off the phone. She goes, do you think it's okay if Ashley comes to service on Sunday? I said, absolutely. She goes, I think she really wants to come. So I thought it was really, you know, cool that, you know, the Spirit helped her and hopefully helped this gentleman, and, you know,
it will.
And just, yeah.
It will. It will keep on going and going and going. Let's give that another hand for Gina. You know, it's going to go, and it's going to continue to go. And, you know, I'm so grateful that you said that maybe they're the cult. But you know something? It sounds so horrible when I speak the truth about them that it looks like I'm judging them. And it's so messed up because it's like, this guy here, he's just judging them and he's judging them. But what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to say? You know? It's like, okay, stay there then. How many people feel that ISIS is not that good? Would you say that they're a cult? Some say they're a religious militia. My point is there are labels for everything, isn't there? You see? And it's almost like you're afraid to start something because you're going to be judged. But somebody's got to start it. I believe personally, and I don't know when, but there are some big investors out there that are listening. Big investors. They're hearing it. And they're saying, this doctrine needs to be put out around the world. Because this doctrine here doesn't bring division. This doctrine here doesn't bring division, and it doesn't judge. Now, what does the world want? Right? What are you laughing about? Is that division?
That the epitome of division.
Okay, there you go. This does not bring division. This doctrine that is being spoken does not bring division. It brings unity and it brings love. That's what the world wants. The world is dying for peace. The world is dying to be accepted, no matter what you are. If you're a rainbow or not, it doesn't matter. They want to be accepted, right? This doctrine accepts it. In itself, we don't say that sin is good. We accept the person but hate the sin, so to say. How many people understand that one? Okay? It's almost like, how many people understand smoking's bad for your health? Okay? Everybody understand smoking's bad for your health? Okay. Do we hate the smoke, or do we hate the person that smokes the smoke? We hate the smoke, not the person that smokes. You see? What does religion do? They don't hate the smoke. They hate the person that smokes. Think about it. It's sad. It's very sad. And so with that being said, those that are logging on, please understand why they need God, why they need this doctrine, why they need to hear it from this place. You've heard testimonies tonight. You've heard a couple of things. I want to keep on encouraging the world out there to keep on logging on. Keep on telling their friends. Try to get on the top 10 list. And understand that there is a world out there that you just can't see that is eternal, that is real, more real than what you see here. All this will fade away. That world will never fade away. And that's the world that we really need to understand and have knowledge of, grace. And when we have this knowledge, we're saved by it. And without this knowledge, we're not saved. It's simple as that. I'm here to give you this knowledge. I'm here to pass on what God has given me in that divine intervention to where I didn't ask for it, but it came on my life and changed me. And now I'm here to tell the world what changed me, how I was changed, what is out there, what I saw, what is real, and the truth, and get you to know who you are. To get you to understand what God created inside of you, that life, and give you life. Not only give you that life, but give you everlasting life. And when you really get to understand the battle between the two, the mind and the heart, and you can overcome the mind and war and cast down all the imaginations that exalts itself over the knowledge of God. And that knowledge of God is living right inside of you. And to be able to tap inside of you and to be true to you, you'll be transformed into His image and His life, because His life is in you. And then we can live out that life. And when we live out that life, we have a joy and a peace and a righteousness that surpasses all understanding. And here's a perfect example. I used to say this before. I don't care if I was washing the bathroom men's floor. If I was in the will of God, that would have been the greatest job ever, and I would be so happy and excited to go to work every day. I never thought that it would actually transition in my own life by me taking full-time ministry. I look at full-time ministry as going into the men's bathroom and washing the floor. I never thought I would be the happiest man ever doing what I'm doing right now, despite it pays tips. Here's my cup. You know, I just washed the floor after you got done peeing. Here, can you give me a tip? No? Okay, that's all right. Thank you anyhow. And then I got to go wash the floor again. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. But I work for tips. But now I can say what I spoke was the most truthful thing ever I said. Because no matter if it's tips or not, I am happy as ever. And so I want to just share with those out there that are listening, if we are true with ourselves and honest with ourselves and tap into the heart of God that is inside of us, you will find a peace that surpasses all understanding. A lot of us are struggling. A lot of us are fighting because we're afraid. We're afraid of having that life, because that life may not pay. It may only be peanuts. It might only be tips. And you're afraid. But the thing is God didn't create you for fear. He created you for life. And if you tap into your heart, you might have to really give it that moment of trusting God and saying, you know what, I'm going to walk away from this and I'm going to follow my heart, and I might have to look at tips for a while, but my whole point is He'll provide your need. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. You don't have to fight and struggle for your life. You're bound by fear, worrying about where your next meal is going to come from, or how you're going to be able to make money or whatever. If your life is driven by how to make money, you're missing it. You don't have a life. It can't be the leader of your life that takes your fear and causes it to choke you. Now, not all fear is bad. Believe me, I'm glad I'm a little fearful to hang on the edge of the cliff, because I know if I keep on walking without fear, I'm going to fall on the cliff and hit my head, you know, and maybe kill myself. So not all fear is bad. But the fear that really chokes you and causes your heart to be troubled is. And so we need to learn how to cast that fear away. The biggest battle, if I can share at the end of this night, and I always like to leave you with a nugget. This is the nugget of the day. This is the nugget of the night. The main battle of life is fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I'm trying to bring perfect love. And that perfect love is a God that I know, the God of the universe, who loves us and created us and gave us life. And that is what I want to give you. I want to give you what he gave you. I want you to discover it, and I want you to have it. And what's holding us back from having it is fear. And if we can cast that fear out and love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we'll come into this life that I'm talking about. Not a cookie-cutter life, like I want everybody to do this and put a rules and regulations on the wall and everybody has to follow it. I'm talking about the life that all the rules and the writing is on your heart. And you're free to live that life. I don't care what it says. I just care that you know what it says and that you live it out to the fullness. That's why this ministry. That's why this place. That's why this cult. I'll end it with that one. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, because he's worthy to be praised. And Jim, thank you for bearing with me up there. And I hope we were able to get that last nugget of the day. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, greet somebody.